When Jesus responded to the disciples' request to teach them how to pray, he gave the most perfect and comprehensive outline that has ever been conceived. And we have come to call it the Lord's Prayer. And as we have often noticed in these past weeks, the Lord's Prayer consists of six petitions or requests. The first three have to do with God's glory, and they are distinguished by the word thy. And so we have thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. If you look at those thys, then you understand what the first part of the Lord's Prayer is. Then there are three other petitions which have to do with man's well-being, and they are distinguished by the words us. Give us, forgive us, lead us. And if you'll take those two-word phrases, the six of them, and you'll just underline them in your prayer, you will have before you the divine outline for prayer. And there is nothing like it anywhere. It is the most wonderful and comprehensive outline that we could possibly have. The extraordinary comprehensiveness of those six requests in the Lord's Prayer has led Helmut Thielicke to say this, that the light is like the colors are like the colors that come from light when it shines through a spectrum and then diffuses into the colors of the rainbow. That they cover every area of life. And that it is a fact that no one can say that the Lord's Prayer does not apply to them. Regardless of what their problem is, it touches upon their problem. Great things and small things, material things, immaterial things, inward things, outward things, everything is involved in the compass of the Lord's Prayer. That all the colors of life are met in the Lord's Prayer. It is the outline for comprehensive prayer. There is nothing like the Lord's Prayer. And as we return to it this morning, we've seen the first three petitions, which are upward and for God's glory. And now we turn to the petitions that have to do with man. And so the question that our text answers this morning is, how is it that we properly pray for ourselves? And the answer that it gives is an answer which is very healthy and good because it goes beyond our pious presuppositions, and I think it is liberating in the matter of prayer. I think we're going to see something here that perhaps we haven't seen before. Now, the initial petition of the prayer when we begin to pray for ourselves is found in verse 11, and it's very simple. It says, give us this our daily bread. Seems to be as simple as it could possibly be. There are seven words there. Six of them are monosyllables. Only one has two syllables, and so it ought to be as simple as it could possibly be. Maybe there'd be some controversy about the other petitions, but not about this one. Well, if we think that, how wrong we can be. Because those two-syllable word, which is daily, has a world of difficulty in it. And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it's two syllables in English. But the problem is this, is that you can look anywhere in Greek literature, you can look clear back to Homer, come all the way down Greek literature to the New Testament, and you will not find that word anywhere in literature. Nothing that even comes close to it. Now, it is found once in non-literary source in a piece of papyrus that seemed to have a grocery list on it. And there it seems to refer to our daily needs. But interestingly, that papyrus has even been lost. And so today, specialists, when they talk about this word, say the word has two possible meanings when you break the word down. One is the word daily, which we have in our text. The other carries the idea of tomorrow. And the specialists are unified today in saying this, that the word daily in our text really means bread for tomorrow. So that when we pray this, we should pray, give us this day our bread for tomorrow. You'll find it in the margin of the New English Bible and you'll find it in the RSV. Now that's a fascinating thing. But the question is, does this really make a difference in the interpretation of the prayer? And the first part of the answer is not very much difference. Because when you pray, give us this day tomorrow's bread, if you pray it in the morning, you're in a sense praying for God's provision for the day. If you pray it in the evening, you're praying for His provision for the next day. And so the basic, primary, fundamental idea of the prayer is still prayer for our physical needs. But at the same time, it is praying for tomorrow's bread is also a prayer for a spiritual bread, a bread that is eternal, and a bread that's tomorrow. That's a secondary idea. Both of them are present, as we're going to see. But as we start out this morning, what we want to first look at is the primary meaning. That is, that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying that the Lord will meet us in our physical and material needs. Now, I think it's fascinating that in the early church, all of the church fathers spiritualized this word bread and said that it referred to communion. This is universal in the early church. So that St. Jerome, in his translation of the Bible, said it is supersubstantial bread. He says the bread is a bread which is above physical bread. It is a spiritual bread, and it refers to the Eucharist or communion. Now, the reason they did this was because when they looked at the flow of the Lord's Prayer and they saw those three first petitions that were for God's glory and saw how sublime they were, it was unthinkable to them that you could all of a sudden say, "And Lord, give us our bread." The first part is so selfless and so upward. And how could you, in a phrase, turn to something that is so much of self and so manward? And so they spiritualized it. But regardless of all of their theologizing and all of their arguing, the fact remains is that this prayer is a prayer primarily that God will provide for our physical needs. In fact, it comes first in its order. God, give us this day our physical sustenance, our daily needs. Now, since that is what it means, I'd like to suggest that it requires some careful application. I have several applications here. First of all, give us this day our daily bread is not a carte blanche. It's not the freedom to go out and pray for everything in the Sears catalog. Sorry about that. Or if you read the Neiman Marcus catalog or the McDade catalog that I read. You know, I once sat with a group of ministers and heard another minister speak to us at a minister's conference. Now, I should mention that this man was later indicted by a federal grand jury and convicted of fraud, this minister. And as he spoke to us, he said, "If you want Cadillacs," he's speaking to a bunch of ministers, "if you want Cadillacs, and if you want large wardrobes, then that is God's will for you." And his rationale was this. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." Therefore, if you ministers are delighting in the Lord as you should be, and are filled with the Spirit, and you want Cadillacs and Gucci shoes and Tiffany watches, it's God's will. Believe God for it and go for it. I've never heard spoken to a bunch of ministers such foolishness in all my life. No scripture teaches this. You can't find this anywhere in the scripture. And especially the Lord's Prayer says that we ought to pray for our bread, which is the necessities of life, those things which we need, those things that are important to our physical comfort, that are important to our families, that are important to our well-being. We're to pray for bread and not for dessert. That's the idea of our prayer, for the necessities. That's the first thing. Can't pray for everything in the catalog. Secondly, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it is an invitation to God to come and meet us in the things which some people call small. One of the precious, precious realities of the Christian life is that God cares about the little things. That is a wonderful, life-changing realization. Our Lord Jesus taught us that He cared for the small things when He took the babies in His arms and He loved them and blessed them when His disciples would have sent them away. Our Lord Jesus taught us that He cared for the small things, the little things, when He cared for the people that were less than little things, the mentally ill, the disenfranchised, and the lame. God cares about His people, and He cares that they be full and warm and comfortable in life. In fact, we see the bigness of God in the fact that He cares for the small things in life. And besides, I think this is a fact. If you take away the so-called little things, then the big things don't seem so big. Now, in this congregation, there are people that think that a Beethoven symphony is the next thing to divine revelation. But if you are freezing, the Beethoven symphony doesn't sound quite the same. Or a visit to the art gallery is one of the great and sublime things in life, but if you are hungering, desperately hungry, you won't find much in the art gallery. Or if you're freezing, a warm sweater may have priority over a volume by C.S. Lewis, even if you're Jerry Root. That's true. Because the abiding teaching of our text is this, is that He cares about our everyday needs, He cares about our trivial, and He wants us to bring these things to Him. This is sublime truth. And a liberating truth that He cares about the small things in our life, that He doesn't mean that we have to hike ourselves up to some sort of great spiritual level and think of spiritual things and then pray for only those spiritual things. He descends to meet us where we are. His greatness resides in that He descends so low. And when we come to Him with the little things in life, we do Him great honor. What a truth that is. Which leads to the third point. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are also moving towards a deeper dependence upon Him. And I think that this particular petition, to pray for our daily bread, flies more in the mouth of society than any other petition of the Lord's Prayer, because this isn't the way the world is. The person out there wants to compound their wealth and compound their security and make themselves impervious to dependence upon God or man or anyone else. And to be sure, we're supposed to save and plan for a rainy day, but what he's arguing against here through the prayer is a total preoccupation with our independence in our well-being. And believers ought to hear this, because many, many believers are caught up in trying to become independent of everything. And God says, I want you to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and I want you to thank me for it. And that'll make a difference in life. And then the other thing that this means when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," is that we confess our mutuality. Notice it doesn't say, "Give me." It says, "Give us." When we pray this prayer, we pray for our families, we pray for our brothers and sisters, we pray for those in the pews around us. And not only that, by praying that prayer with all our hearts and souls, we commit ourselves to meeting the physical needs of our brothers and sisters as God would bring them to us. We have to somehow rise up to some great realm and only pray spiritual things. If we've thought that, then we've been bound. But how liberating it is to be able to take the little things to Jesus. Do you have some little things that you've been hesitating to take to Him? Scripture says that He gives us our daily bread, the small things in life. And we are to pray for our small requests, the things we need, a coat, shoes, a car, books, a vacation, exercise, a bicycle, groceries, toys for the children. He whose eye encompasses in its boundless reach the first day of creation and the last hour of judgment, reflecting all the eternities. He whose outstretched arm enfolds the oceans and islands and continents, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him, He occupies Himself with the trivialities of humankind. Bless His name. God cares about our everyday needs. Why not resolve to say, "God, You have liberated me to say, help me with this small thing, God." Well, that's the basic primary thrust of "Give us this day our daily bread." And God longs for us to express the dependence of praying to Him for our daily needs. But there's also a secondary meaning in the prayer, and that meaning is the spiritual bread which He gives. I believe this for three reasons. First, it really does say, "Give us this day the bread of tomorrow." Secondly, the whole thrust of the Lord's Prayer, as we have seen, always moves into the eternal state, so that we hallow His name in the eternal state. His kingdom comes in the eternal state. His will is ultimately done completely in the eternal state. And so it means the same thing here. It means eternal bread. And thirdly, and this is highly significant, while there are many symbols in Scripture of the eternal state, the only one Jesus ever uses is that of a great, joyous meal. And He uses it numbers of times. And so for those three reasons, when we pray, "Give us this day the bread of tomorrow," we are also praying for the spiritual bread, the bread of eternity. How beautiful it is. It was Charles Malik, when he spoke here at the dedication of the Graham Center, he said, "I can live without water, I can live without air, I can live without physical bread, but I cannot live without Jesus." And so in this prayer, we reach out through prayer our hands to Jesus, and He fills us with eternal bread, the bread of tomorrow. And of course, ultimately, the bread is Christ. Jesus Himself said, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is My flesh." And we say back in response to Jesus, "By Thee the souls of men are fed with gifts of grace supernal. Thou who dost give us earthly bread, give us the bread eternal." And Jesus never disappoints. When we pray, "Give us the bread of tomorrow," Jesus always produces. It's not that way always in life for the rest of us earthlings. I once read of a woman who in the Christmas rush purchased 50 cards. As she was in such a hurry that if she filled them out, she didn't bother to read the verse. And she mailed almost all of them. Never bothered to look at the verse. And when they were gone a few days, she happened to have a little more time. She was looking across her desk and she opened up the card. And this is what she read to her great embarrassment. "This card is just to say, a little gift is on the way." Merry Christmas. Well, she had a lot of explaining to do. There were some disappointed people. But our Lord never disappoints. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," our Lord leaps to meet our needs. When we pray, "Give us the bread of tomorrow," tomorrow's bread, He gives us bread overflowing. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we pray two prayers. The first is for physical bread. We ask our Father for our needs. And whether we're rich or poor, He wants us to daily ask for our needs, realizing that everything we have comes from Him and to depend upon Him. And then secondly, it is a prayer for our spiritual needs. And the table that is so beautifully set before us symbolizes the physical bread, but it also symbolizes the spiritual bread, the bread of life. Believers, the table before us is a foretaste of the meal that one day we're going to partake of joyously and warmly with the Lord Jesus when we sit down with Him at the table. Him at the head, gathered around together in the profoundest unity we can know, partaking of Jesus, and He fills our cups till they overflow, and we drink, and He fills them till they overflow again, and He provides bread upon bread upon bread, and it is the feast of eternity. The bread we eat is real bread. And it has the taste of the past. It has the taste of the broken body of the Lord Jesus who died for us. But it also has the taste of tomorrow. Lord, give us this day the bread of tomorrow. Let us pray. Lord, such holy words to fall from Your lips, and such a holy thought that You provide all of our bread, the bread that's necessary for physical life, the bread that is necessary for spiritual life. And Lord, in these holy moments, we pray that You would meet us and You would provide us with the eternal bread by Your Holy Spirit. Amen.